Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today and open up to Esther chapter number 4 in the Word of God. Esther chapter number 4 in the Word of God today. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now. This is part 6 of that series, looking at the heroes of the faith. And we're looking at about 10 weeks at the life of Moses. And now we've been in the life of Esther, the story of Esther. And we have not been able to hit every aspect of these individual lives, but we are able to go through and really gather some information on their lives and then begin to comprehend. They're not perfect. They live normal lives just like you and I did, and there's things that we can gain and things that are absolutely applicable for you and I living in 2022, in the society we live in the culture that we live in. And I'm excited to jump now into chapter number 4. We really came through the entire chapter of chapter number 3 last week, and so we're going to slow down and kind of get one thought today. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word, Esther and chapter number 4. And today we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Esther chapter number 4. Would you look with me at verse number 1? The Bible says this. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Now we're going to see Esther find out. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. Watch very carefully, but he received it not. This morning I want to look at this passage of Scripture. I'd like to preach a message entitled, Trusting God When It Doesn't Make Sense. I want us to look at trusting God when truly and honestly it just doesn't seem to make sense. Father, thank you, Lord, so much. We can come, we can gather, we can sing. Father, I almost feel sorry for people that don't want to sing to you. When we begin to comprehend who you are, what you've done, Lord, there's something about it that we just want to lift our voice in honor and praise to the faithfulness that you are to us as individuals. I ask, Savior, that through the preaching and teaching of your word today, that you'd be real and alive to us. Thank you, Savior, for what's been happening here at Cross Point. Thank you, Father, for the soul saved. Thank you, Lord, for the baptisms. Thank you, Father, for the growth. Thank you, Lord, for just your grace and your mercy, the peace that you give us each and every day. Father, it's incomprehensible at times. But Father, as we come to your word, Lord, I just ask that we'd learn, we'd grow, that, Father, we'd be convicted, but, Savior, we'd also be encouraged. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Trusting God when it doesn't make sense. That would absolutely be a theme at this time. We saw last week, because Haman, really his focus became his reality. His focus on one man, Mordecai, not bowing down to him and allowing the pride of his life really at that moment to take over, to where it was almost, I'm going to focus on this one guy. Now, there's thousands that are bowing down, but he allowed that focus and that bitterness to become the reality of his life, that he goes and presents to the king this really atrocious type of law that Jews don't mean a lot and they're not really worth anything and they don't really follow your commands. So why don't you just go ahead and take them out? And the king, yeah, let's do it. Here's my ring. Just go ahead and mark it, stamp it, and let's do this. Let's get rid of all the Jews. Because Haman's absolute bitterness and because his focus became his reality, now we've seen a chapter number 3, where there are going to be hundreds of thousands that are now going to die. the Jews are now going to become extinct. Mordecai hears this, and really, truly, in chapter number 4, he is distraught. He begins to weep, and he begins to wail, and he begins to put on sackcloth and ashes and go out into the city, and he is distraught at his people that are now going to lose their lives. We're talking about men, women, children. Everything that they own is going to be dispersed. I mean, this is atrocious. This is awful. This is unbelievable, and then the Jews everywhere that they heard of it, they become distraught. They begin to weep. They begin to cry out. And in Esther here in chapter 4 and verse number 4, Esther hears of it. And Esther begins to become so upset. And she becomes just the anguish begins to take over her life as well. And the amazing thing about this is that she's kind of in her right mind. And she wants to give clothing to Mordecai because Mordecai is not to go into the inner chambers of the king dressed like this. And he's not to enter into the king's gate. And she's got some business with Mordecai, so they need to talk, but he's got to be dressed right. And she sends clothes. And the end of this verse, Mordecai's just not going to have anything to do with it. If this is where we ended the book of Esther, it'd be sad. Like there's, to be honest with you, there is no altar call that we're going to give today. This would be awful. The Jews are in deep anguish. They're going through painful experience. They know what is about to come on them. And because the king's ring, the signet was marked, there is no going back. It's done. That's it. The whole world is about to come in on the Jews. To be honest with you, it's not fair. It's incredibly racist. Lives are going to be destroyed. They feel like they're all alone and no one cares. And without a doubt, there would be a crying out of God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, why did you allow this man to put through a law through the king that we're all going to be destroyed? Good people. I mean, we're talking about those that follow the rules. They're not bad people. They're actually really good for the kingdom. They bring in money. This is great. They're workers. They give to the economy. And yet, with everything that's just taking place, now they're done. And a cry out in anguish takes place. Christian, I don't want to get morbid today, but have you ever been there? You ever cried out to God like that? Have you ever known somebody that's going through a troubling time and they know God, but they cry out, why is this happening? Why did I get this news? Why did this wreck take place in my life? Why did I lose my job? Why did I lose a spouse? Why did my mom and dad have to get divorced? Why am I going to have to go through these pains and these trials? What is it in my life that is taking place? Have you ever known somebody to cry out like that? Oh, the psalmist did it over and over. The Bible says, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth out from unfeigned lips. Listen, when we look at the power of God, we understand that God is a powerful God. But I want to ask us for a moment, have you ever been there? Then, well, hold on. Let's not get into the preaching. Just kind of mundane head in. Okay, that's good. Great. Okay, let's think about it for a moment. Think about your life. Anything ever happened to you that's been unfair? You ever been hurt before? Have you ever gone through a circumstance or a situation that it seemed like, man, this is not fair. Why did this happen? Why is this taking place in my life? Have you ever been through a time or a period of place in your life that, man, God, I don't understand, and you're trying to understand? You ever been through trials where you ever sat in a funeral service before, and it's not a funeral service where somebody had stage 4 cancer and it was almost like a good thing they get to go home to be with their Savior. No more hospice, no more Tylenol, no more pain, no more sorrow. Those funerals are okay. That's almost a, hey, this is a rejoicing. This is great. No, have you ever been to a funeral where it just seems like life is not fair? I remember going to Aslan's funeral, 5-year-old niece of ours that was killed in a car accident. Missionaries headed over to the foreign field. And boy, I remember in that time, in that moment, being young in the ministry, there were times Carrie and I bawled our eyes out and began to question, God, why? This is a good family. This is unusual. This is difficult. Be the pallbearer of a tiny little casket and lays a little 5-year-old girl in there. I'm here to tell you, your heart will melt. That's not an easy circumstance to go through. Bad things do happen to good people. Let me tell you something, Brother Titus, it's not easy when we go through it. Friend, these people are hurting, and yet Christians today around the globe, maybe we are even asking the question, why? Why is it this is taking place in Ukraine? Why is it this is happening to so-and-so with stage 3 cancer now? Why is it that we've buried so many over the last 2 years? Why is it that we are seeing divorces like crazy around the United States and even in our good churches? Why is it that we're seeing teenagers go off to college and never come back and want nothing to do with God and want nothing to do with His Word? And why is it that we're seeing, it seems like, the whole world starting to come in and there's a darkness in the land, and at times it's oppressive, and at times it's evil, and at times it is very difficult to get through. Understand, why do you and I go through these problems and these pains? And especially, are we guilty? Are we bad people? Because in that moment, it's hard to trust God. Am I an evil person for saying, God, why? Am I a bad Christian because I begin to question God's will? I begin to question His sovereignty. I begin to question, God, I just don't understand. And it seems like the wicked is thriving, and it seems like the Christians are hurting. And am I a bad person for stepping back in a prayer closet and with tears coming down my face saying, God, I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? You ever been there? Oh, friend, we've been through those circumstances before. Friend, you and I have been hurt without a doubt in our lives before. Watch this and tune in. Comprehend this, that you and I can go through difficulties and through hard times, but it's in those moments that you and I have to trust God. It is in those moments that you and I have to give a peace, and there's things that you and I can think through. Mordecai, Esther, what's going to happen to them? Some of you have been reading this whole time. That or you're looking at your phone. I hope you're reading the Bible, but nonetheless, you're like, okay, I got to find out what's going on. Okay, we're going to get to that side of the story. But for just a moment, let's look at this subject, trusting God when it doesn't make sense. First, let's put several common Christian thoughts or theories to rest, okay? So let's think about this first of all, just for a moment. If you're taking notes, this might be a little bit more topical and back and forth, but just follow the thought process here for just a moment. Let's put a couple theories to rest, okay? You ready for this? Now listen, Christian. Through trials, God has never left us alone. If you agree with that, would you say amen this morning? Now, do we go through hard times? Yes. Do we go through struggles? Without a doubt. Do we have those marriage problems? Yes. Do we have those lost jobs? Do we have bills? Do we have cancer? Do we have death? Yes, absolutely. But comprehend this. Through a trial, God has never left you and I that are saved alone. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, check this out, watch now, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means this, He has never left us. He has never forsook us. You may feel alone. You may feel like you're going through a difficult time. But let me put it this way. Depressed people often have a wrong view of God. Let me say it again. Depressed people often have a wrong view of God. Why? Because if they will get down and they begin to think all about all the negative. They begin to think about everything that's bad and all everything that's wrong and everything that's not right. And all of a sudden, that negativity in their life will then begin to push them through disenchantments and disillusion. And it really begins to bring them to, can I put it this way, discouragement, negativity, and the discouragement. And that discouragement will always lead to depression. And where depression gets, now look, I know I'm talking to Christians today, but I'm here to tell you, friend, if there is ever something we've learned in the last 2 years, is Christians can get depressed just like the lost world can get depressed. And friend, if you and I don't start dealing with this, we are going to have more and more dropping out of churches, dropping out of their marriages, dropping out of what God's will is for their life, because they get in this mode of, watch now very carefully, nobody cares for me. I am all alone in this world. And depression will push a person to suicide. We have the highest rate of suicides the last 2 years of ages 8 to 16 than we have ever had in the United States of America. When I think about a little 10-year-old taking their life, my heart melts. I almost can't think about it. When I think about a 15-year-old that gets up and goes to school every day, and they get to school and they get back and they are so dark and they are so depressed and they are so bullied that they feel like there is no one that cares for me. There is no one that is with me. I might as well give it up and will take their life. I'm here to tell you, friend, that's hard to think about. I can't stomach it. I'm raising 5 kids right now. Let me tell you something. When I start thinking about that, I just want to go to their Sunday school class and bring them out and lift them up. And I just want to hug them and I just want to be with them. Why? I don't want my kids to ever go through a time in their life when they feel all alone. Friend, that is awful and that is discouraging and that is dark and that is depressive. But let me give you the good news today. You might be going through a hard time and maybe you're going through a lonely period and maybe it's been a husband or a wife that's turned their back on you, or maybe it's been a grandparent that died or a hero of the faith that went home to be with the Lord. Maybe you feel like you don't have as many friends as so-and-so, and you've kind of followed this path to where you are at where you're at. Let me put it this way today, friend. You are not alone if you're saved. You have Jesus Christ in your heart, and he gave you this promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. People will turn their back on us. People will always be there. I'm 38 years old. I haven't lived with my parents for years. They haven't always been there for me. And man, they're just not always there when I need them. That's not a bad thing. That's called life. But let me put it this way. Jesus has always been with me since the day I bowed my head, invited him into my heart. He promised me, son, I'll never leave you. You'll go through good times. You'll go through bad times. You'll go through light times and you'll go through dark times. But aren't you thankful today that Jesus will never leave us? He's always with us. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're in this room today and you've thought about suicide this last week, no, hold on. He said, Pastor, we shouldn't talk about those things. God forbid we ever stop talking about this. You know why? Because you might be in this room today and you don't have a Savior. You don't have a friend. You don't have Jesus living in your heart. You know what you need today. You don't need therapy and you don't need another pill and you don't need to see Dr. So-and-so. You know where you need to start? First of all, you need to start by asking Jesus Christ into your heart, because, friend, God can save you. He will save you. And I'm telling you, he will change your life. If you agree with that, say amen today. My life's never been the same. Oh, man. That's because, Pastor, you're a pastor of a church. You never go through hard times. Oh, my word. What is wrong with you? We all go through tough times. But he's always been there for us. Comprehend, first of all, through a trial, God has never left us. But secondly, through a trial, God loves us just the same. You see, his love for his children never diminishes no matter what takes place in our life. I love the verse in Romans that says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? What's going to separate? Hold on. Some of you know this by heart. So you're already daydreaming. Don't daydream. You say, well, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question. What is it that God is going to say, don't love you anymore? Hold on. Here's what the Bible says. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him, check it out, that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, you might not get excited about that, but I'm here to tell you, just preaching it just puts a pep in my step. You know why? Because there's a lot of people that are mean and hateful, and it just feels like there's not a lot of love out there. Even in the body of Christ, at times there could be those things that people fight and argue over. But I'm here to tell you, you and I have a God in heaven, and he loves us. I'm here to tell you today, I don't care if you're a visitor or you've been attending Cross Point for many years, many decades, God is madly in love with you. His love is not altered by who you are or where you've been or what your family tree is or who you've been around. He wants you, I'm talking about you, Christian, to drop your defenses, to accept his embrace. He doesn't want you because of, well, what you can do. No, he wants you for who you are. Friend, I am here to tell you, there is a God in heaven that sent his only begotten son, and he came to this earth. He lived for several decades. He had a ministry. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. He stretched out his arms on an old rugged tree. He was tortured. Why? For you and for me. You know what he's telling you today? I love you. I love you. Now hold on, let's pause right here. In the world, we have a lot of separation. Many of you lived through some of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and segregation and everything that took place back then. And unfortunately, there's many today that are trying to divide by races. Blacks, whites, Hispanics, they're just trying to divide. There are many today, unfortunately, even in the Christian realm, that are trying to divide based on who you voted for. Democrats over here, Republicans over here, independents over here. Divide, 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 divide. Mean. If there's ever anything the coronavirus taught us, it's that we are a very, very opinionated people. You're over here, you're the conspiracy theorist, you're over here, you believe everything, you just follow on the government, you just, and all of a sudden we start, divide, 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 divide. All of a sudden we can feel like we're almost on this little island. Can I tell you something, friend? God is not a divider, he is a uniter. His love is not, Corbin, just for you, and Addison, just for you, and I get a little bit more than Eric you get, and Eric gets a little bit more than Amy gets, and Amy gets a little bit more than Carrie gets, and Carrie gets a little bit more than Amber gets, and Amber gets a little bit more than Brother Baldwin gets. No, that's not how it works. For God so loved the, say that word loud, world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we often think we're going through a trial, we're trying to trust God, but oh, God's left us. He said, I'll never leave thee. Well, God must not love me because I'm going through this, and he must love them because I feel like everything good happens to them. No, his love is not altered. So why do we suffer? Why do we go through these trials? Well, first of all, we go through trials because we're part of God's family. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 29, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Paul said it like this, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, and purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord deliver me. Yea, all they that live godly in Christ, watch it now, shall suffer persecution. You and I are going to go through some tough times, and we're going to go through some persecutions. We're going to go through some rough things. And I tell you why. You may ask, well, Pastor, why do we have to do that? I'll tell you why. Because we're hated. Now, hold on. All of a sudden, you have some visitors here. You're like, oh, Pastor, this is getting so dark. And can't you talk about love? And can't we go back to the last point? Okay, I get it. I'm a pastor, been a pastor a long time. So let's talk for a moment. Okay, here we go. You ready for this? I get it. Nobody wants to talk about persecution. Like, I have never, Brother Mike, I've never been one of these pastors that comes into a deacon's meeting and like, oh, Brother Crampy, I'm here to tell you, bless God, the way I'm taking a stand, the way I'm preaching, boy, I'm just going to end up in prison one day. I'm going to be in prison. But you know what? Bring it on. I'll be honest with you. I'm not super interested in going to prison. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm not Hey, boy, I took a stand, and boy, I was out there in the street, and they came, but boy, I gave up. Come on, let's bring it on, old Satan. Okay, if that's somebody, that's great and good, but let's be honest, like, we're going to be hated. We don't have to bring it on ourselves. We're going to be hated because of him. Because they hate him. They don't like us because we have our kids and we're teaching them about Jesus and about his word. We're going to go through tough times because we're Christians. Friend, I don't want to just like be the tale of bad news, but the Bible's pretty clear we're going to face some hard times. I know we think sometimes, oh, we're so persecuted. Do you remember back in 2020? They made us wear masks. Oh, that was so awful. We're not talking about wearing masks or this, or you had to stand in line. I'm talking about one day it's going to come where you and I might have to make a decision. Are we going to keep standing on God's word, or are we not? You look at our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine, Russia and China. They've gone through real persecution. We don't know what persecution is yet. Yes, there are those. And yes, there are Christian law associations out there that the religious liberty is coming to a close and an end. And I praise the Lord for men like Eric Miller and others who are out there fighting for us and for our rights. And I praise the Lord. And look, we're just going to keep on going. But I want to tell you today, sometimes we're going to go through trials because we're part of the family of God. There's separation that happens. Neighbors don't understand us. People might not like us. And it's not that we're mean and we're bullies, to be honest with you. I think in the Indianapolis area, we just ought to be sharing the love of God. Are you with me today? Amen. The love of God. We have trials not only because we're part of the family of God, we also have trials. Are you ready for this? I know not everybody's prepared to hear this, and it's very deep. But here we go. We have trials because it's a part of life. Oh, there's got to be more to it than that. No. Job said, man is born of a woman of a few days and full of trouble. What's that mean? That means this. Life's hard. This ground, this world, it's cursed. Weeds grow and cars rust. And has anybody noticed, like our bodies get old. When they get old, man, like we struggle. Some struggle getting in the church, and some struggle getting up. And man, and sometimes I watch Aaron and some of these others out there on the basketball court, Braden. And man, I'm watching them like, man, I remember those days. You didn't stretch. You remember those days, Coach Shell? We just got out there and we just ran around 3-4 hours. Then we're done. We grabbed like a swig of water, and then we ran right back out there for 3-4 hours. Now it's like, okay, guys, give me a couple seconds here, 30 minutes. Oh, yeah, I'm out. Next game. Okay, like that's where we're at. Sometimes we go through trials and it has nothing to do with God. And yet sometimes we will try to bring in a spiritual application where there's no spiritual application. Oh, I hit a pothole and I got a flat tire. And I knew, honey, did you pay the tithe last week? I knew if we didn't tithe, we were going to hit the pothole. And God designed that pothole and it was right there and we hit it. And now, so we got to pay double next month because, okay, and all of a sudden we go through trials and, oh, there's a growth right here. Oh, my goodness. I got to go apologize to so-and-so. And we try to bring Jesus into something where really it's just, to be honest with you, this earth is cursed. I said it before and I say it again. Look, bad things happen to good people. Sometimes we just live our life and we go through a trial and it's just part of life. So how do we discern? How do we know, okay, we got it. God is there with us. And yes, okay, we understand that his love is there, but why do we have trials? Well, we're going to have trials because we're part of God's family, and we're going to have trials because it's part of life. But we also have trials. Now, I want you to tune in and watch this. You can't miss this because it's really part of God's teaching. There is no doubt as we go through these last several chapters, God did not leave Esther and Mordecai. There's not just, this is weird and, oh, that's awful. And ever since then, over the last several thousands of years, the Jews have been persecuted over and over again. There have been those that have tried to annihilate them, God's people, but God's remnant is there. God's hand is upon those people, and he has protected them, and he has brought them through. That there is something that you and I can learn through a trial. Here it is. Ready? Our trials bring our relationship closer to the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. How? Take pleasure in reproaches and necessities and persecutions. What do you mean you take pleasure in them? In distress, watch, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because we have a God that is there and is going to see us through. And isn't it amazing at times when life is good, life is great, and I got good grades, and man, I came through this week, and my arthritis didn't bother me, and all of our bills are paid, and my kids actually did good in school, my grandkids did good in college, and I got some great news this week. Isn't it amazing during times like that? Watch now. Isn't it amazing in times like that, that all of a sudden, like, we start kind of backing off of our Bible reading? We don't think about God as much. Don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And then a trial comes. You lose your keys or your wallet. And all of a sudden, oh, God, I need you right now, Lord, if you could just show me. Just point the finger where it's at, God. I got to go. I got to get to work. Kids are late for school. God, and all of a sudden, that trial comes in. Boom, just, oh, boom, right then. We need God in this moment right now. There's just, this is bad, y'all. Now that I know these are here, I'm going to be getting your attention, okay? Understand. Watch. We go through that trial. And all of a sudden, we start to remember God. Can I tell you, friend? Oftentimes in our struggles in life, it really is a time that we draw closer to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Friend, in your life today, are you going through a hard time? You need to draw close to him. Is your marriage about done? Are they about to repo the house, the car? Is that teenager astray? Is that bitterness overtaking you? Is that sin in your life continually over and over, that habit, that habitual sin? Is it keep coming back, and this mud you're going through, this darkness you're going through, this loneliness that you're going through? What do we do? What do we need to learn? Here's what we got to learn. He loves you. He's never going to leave you. Maybe this trial in our life is so that you and I once again call out, God, I need you. Isn't it amazing in our kids' life? Our kids can go upstairs, downstairs, or in the house. They can play for hours. They don't think about mom and dad. They don't need mom and dad. But the first time they fall, the first time they get hurt, the first time that skin is broken and they see that little red blood come out, you know what the first thing they do is? They cry out, Mom, Dad. Yesterday we had that happen. I had the house totally in order. Carrie was gone away with this ladies' retreat. I'm telling you, I just was awesome. I did it. Nobody died. Like, we have all five kids today, and it was great. And within like 6 minutes of Carrie being home, one of our kids fell down, hit. They got all skinned up, screaming. I'm like, Carrie, they were little angels when you were gone. This is totally your fault, okay? But man, they begin to scream, and they not, Mom, Dad, Nora's hurt. And we all go running. And you know what? I kind of have sometimes the mindset of like, come on, get up, just dust it off. Let's not panic. You're okay. You're okay. You know, their arm's broken this way and a bone sticking. I'm like, look, honey, let's not get overboard. Panic, okay? That's kind of my heart. But Carrie, man, she's got that mom's heart. Just scoop them up and just something about that love. Let me just tell you, that's our Abba Father. He's not up here yelling at you. Come on, dust yourself up. Get over it. Get up. No, he's there ready to scoop you up in his arms. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But watch, and I'm almost done. Our trials will help us clean out where we need to clean out. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Trials will draw us close to God, and you and I will get to a place where we begin to question, God, what are you trying to teach me in my life? Friend, trials and hard times are part of life. It's difficult. Being a pastor is not always easy. You weep with people a lot. Pastor Dan, I'd say over the last month, we've had, what, 6 funerals now? It was time in the office just right over here. Pastor Dan and I literally just looked at each other with tears in our eyes. We just stared at each other like we're hurting for our people. These dark times and these hard times, and it's amazing. Getting a place where it seems like race and back and forth and people arguing over everything and people mad and people upset and people splitting up and family splitting, and it's just a dark world out there. And I don't know where you're at today, but I want to encourage you. Our God is big enough. He's a great God, and he's got you. He's carrying you probably at this very moment. We might get mad at him and, oh, where are you at, God? And maybe a fist in the air, and I don't understand, and why am I going through this? Not realizing the whole time, he's got us. Friend, maybe your heart's heavy today. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I'm telling you, he does. And friend, he's got you. We look at this and say, trusting God, this doesn't make sense. All the Jews are going to die. Mordecai, Esther, this is a mess. You better come next week because this story gets even crazier. How do we trust God? Here's what we do. Draw nigh to him. He loves you. He's lifting you up. How many would say this today by an amen? I'm saved today. Would you say amen? Amen. Then he's got you. I'm not saved. I don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what to do. Get saved. Well, I don't know how to do that. We'll show you. Well, I think I did something like that. Okay, well, let us take the word of God and show you God's way. That's what we're here for. Hey, church, we're going through some hard times. Let's pray for each other. How many know of at least one person, maybe not in this room, but you know one person that's going through a hard time? Would you lift your hand up? Would you just lift it up? I know they're going through a trial. Just lift it up. Let me see it. Let me see it. Okay, good. Good, good. Man, that's a lot of hands. Probably 90% in here. We know of at least one person. Maybe you raised it and said, yeah, I know one person. Me. So do we just sit here? It's 12 o'clock. Yeah, we're supposed to be done right now. I mean, like any moment, Denny's going to be zipping up his Bible. So I mean, we're supposed to be done. Like, this is it. This is, no, hold on. Hold on, wait. Are we going to do something about it? We can do something about it? Ms. Kristen, I'm going to ask you if you come to the piano at this time, and I'm going to ask us at this moment, now watch this, at this moment, this is our time to step out. Step out for a friend today, and let's pray for them. Ladies, do you need somebody to pray with today? Man, Mrs. Crampy's right up here. My wife's right up here. We've got Ms. Darlene, Mrs. Titus, Ms. Nicole, Ms. Fitzgerald. Over here, we got Miss Amber, we got Miss Christina, it's Katie. We have ladies, you want to pray with somebody? Come right up front, find me. I'll have a lady come right up here with you and pray. There'll be people moving all over. Gentlemen, do you need somebody to pray with today? Guys, you need somebody to pray with? I'll pray with you. I'll turn my microphone off. I've got men all over. Brother Crampy, myself, Pastor Dan, Mr. Titus, Brother Jim, Miss Jen Milliken. We've got men and ladies all over the place. You want to pray with somebody? Come on, let's get down and pray today. Look, excuse me, friend. This is awkward. I just don't like coming forward. That's okay. You do your own thing. But I'm here to tell you, I think we ought to stop playing trials and playing on, I don't know, and oh, woe is me. We can get on Facebook real fast, but why don't we get on our face and talk to God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who's got it all under control, and who's not fretting. No, he's sitting on his throne today. Why don't we come boldly to him? You struggling? You discouraged? You're depressed? You come forward today.